Welcome back to approximately day 4 of the Blue Smokescreen Wave. Yes, it's Monday the 12th of November 2018. I'm your host, Mark Call. And I want to suggest right up front now that the blue wave was never what was supposed to happen. It was always a blue smokescreen. And we're now seeing a whole lot of it, metaphorically, physically, obviously politically, economically, and yeah, spiritually too. From waves and waves of ballots that just keep appearing literally out of nowhere and long after the deadline, and not just in corrupt Florida counties. Arizona has crooked Maricopa County, California has tons of other contenders, and so forth. But the blue smoke and outright lies surrounding that whole underreported story literally defies credulity. There's a lot of smoke and false flags, and yes, in California there's real fire in addition to the smoke, and no shortage of outright incompetence to blame, like failing to properly manage the forest and build fire breaks, as the president has pointed out. But even the advanced drawdown of dams and water supplies, perhaps because of Governor Moonbeam and the nutcases there who want to rewild and, if necessary, burn out farmers too. And given the now transparent agenda to burn down the whole country, who could be surprised by a little more arson? As Americans have been shut up, silenced, dumbed down, and then herded into information ghettos, the one consistent thing that formerly free people have been told is, well, you may not have the right to keep and bear arms anymore. The concept of trial by jury was done away with decades ago. And now the two Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube are pretty well silencing anybody that can connect two thoughts together, especially if they can read either the Constitution or the Bible. Just about the only remaining box from that old joke about the four boxes of a free society was the ballot box. And most of us have realized it's been pre-stuffed for quite a while, but lately the smoke surrounding that one has burst into open flames. And by now we all know that when the truth can no longer be denied, we can count on the waste-stream fake news media to come out unanimously and declare it to be, say it with me folks, a conspiracy theory. As the Daily Caller puts it, the establishment media is dismissing the election scandal in Florida and in Arizona and in so many other places as a conservative conspiracy theory. Evidence, though, indicates that something strange is afoot. Now remember, if the right people are making claims, we don't need evidence. And if the wrong people are, no matter how much you have, it's never enough. But not to worry, the Ministry of Truth doesn't want it reported anyway. Republican Governor Rick Scott, it says, beat incumbent Democrat Bill Nelson for the state's open Senate seat, but days after the election supervisors, sick, in Broward and Palm Beach counties were still adding literally tons of votes to the tally. Overwhelmingly Democrat, too, but don't expect to see the actual numbers. And silly people thought the polls had closed. Ah, truth is, the real polls, the ones that truly matter, and that's the ones that get counted, didn't open until after they saw who won and who really lost. And here's the real kicker, but not the surprise. If you can recognize fraud when you see it, not only are you a conspiracy theorist when it comes to election fraud, you're a racist, too. And this particular conspiracy and the fraud that's now being revealed is so bad, even a few waste stream outlets like the Miami Herald are having to fess up. Their headline from Sunday the 11th said, "Whoops, Brenda Snipes' office mixed bad provisional ballots with good ones," or what was supposed to be good ones. The chief Broward County election rigger accidentally, yeah sure, mixed more than a dozen rejected ballots with nearly 200 valid ones, a circumstance that they say is unlikely to help Brenda Snipes push back against Republican allegations of incompetence. No, folks, she's not incompetent. She's an evil, lying, unindicted, but very much recognized criminal. She's been caught before. Election after election, even, as it turns out, you have to wonder what the hell is going on in Broward County that she's still in a position of supposed responsibility. Wait a minute. No, you don't. It's really obvious. She's there because the criminal mob bosses want her there and are protecting her there. And she's doing exactly what she's supposed to be doing. It just doesn't have anything to do with honest elections. Insert disclaimer here. Yeah, it's your host's opinion based on obvious fact. The Broward County officials say any number of pieces is well known for letting non-citizens vote and destroying ballots that aren't properly marked with, you know, the right candidates. An embarrassed county attorney had to admit, "We have found no clear authority controlling the situation faced by the board." And so far, they say nobody has a solution. In other words, folks, if you're able to get away with mixing a whole bunch of provisional ballots, arguably tainted, with supposedly good ones, well, now what? Some of us actually remember that the Bible says a little leaven leavens the whole lump. The now what ought to be throw the whole stinking mess out. And that would be all of Broward County. Since the truth here is we're not talking about a few hundred ballots, folks. We're talking about thousands upon thousands of them, evidently added after the official deadline. With corruption like this, the whole stinking mess is tainted and ought to be thrown out. And just maybe some disgruntled real voters might say, hey, you know what? We've had it with this kind of crookedness and clean things up. Yeah, don't hold your breath. And the corruption has metastasized. Here we go, says a piece from the Gateway Pundit. The Georgia Democrat Party says thousands of new early absentee and election day votes were just discovered. Who could have thought it? In a number of counties. They're going to steal Georgia too, suggests Hoff, just like they did Arizona, where radical Code Pink activist and nutcase Kyrsten Sinema supposedly won the Arizona Senate race after thousands and thousands of votes appear after the election. The rest of the story, though, just keeps getting worse. President Trump tweeted over the weekend that, quote, an honest vote is no longer possible in Florida. And he's probably being too kind, because the truth not only includes Arizona and Georgia, but certainly California, probably Minnesota, and literally who knows how many others. And that, also quoting from his tweet, the Florida election should be called in favor of Rick Scott and Ron DeSantis in that large numbers of new ballots showed up out of nowhere, and many ballots are missing or forged. So he suggests you ought to actually go with what happened on election night. Yes, if you haven't heard by now, there's a recount in progress, which means things will get even more bogus. And the level of fraud and chicanery here that we've known about all along, but is now being at least revealed by the waste stream, is literally not believable. Incredible. We better do this chronologically. Here's a piece from Zero Head, just summary of a number of articles. Broward County mystery boxes, it says in the headline, tossed into trucks after missing the election deadline, and Florida Representative Matt Gaetz was forcibly removed while filming the crookedness. After a Florida judge ordered Broward County Supervisor of Elections, SICK, Brenda Snipes, to allow for the immediate inspection of tens of thousands of ballots suddenly found after that blue wave came up short, Snipes failed to abide by the 7 p.m. deadline set by a mere court and, of course, ignored. Instead, workers were filmed by Representative Matt Gaetz of Florida shuffling boxes into a truck before he was forcibly, what, assisted by a police officer? No, removed for exposing the crookedness. Gaetz tweeted a video of the crime and added this in a tweet, all this while they were violating constitutional rights and a court order, unquote. And yes, also what's called the chain of custody, now broken, so basically the ballots aren't worth the paper they were printed on, obviously en masse. This next story, folks, I have to do today, if for no other reason than, quite frankly, I'm sick of hearing about it. But it certainly does illustrate the level of depravity and outright fabrication in the smokescreen media today. I suspect you've heard it. Doctored video, doctored video, doctored video. Poor put-upon Jim Acosta. Boorish, rude, unconscionably nasty CNN host. And an in-your-face liar, too. But hey, he's in really good company. Acosta was beyond rude to the president, deserved to be kicked out of that press conference last week. The president let him go way over the line before deciding he'd finally had more than enough, even though he was too polite to say, "Shut the hell up, Jim," which is what he should have said. Instead, he just kept on saying, more and more insistently, to give up the microphone and let somebody else ask a question. And as I'm sure you've probably heard by now, finally a young female White House intern went up and attempted to take it politely from the reprobate, who rudely pushed her hand away and then persisted in lying about it, along with the rest of the fake news media, day after day at this point, claiming he never touched her, which is an obvious lie, even if CNN doesn't want you to see the multiple videos proving so. And so rather than talk about how they're literally burning down what's left of America, and that's the bigger point, they're going to instead focus on this particular piece of a huge smokescreen. So it occurred to your host again as I was listening to Alex Jones, and actually with more than sufficient justification, rant about how he was put upon by the lying fake news media for pointing out again just how badly they were lying. So I'll say it again, given what they've been attempting to put Alex Jones through, and that means literally destroy him, I can't deny he has a right to be literally mad as hell. But what he and the entire waste stream smokescreen has been so incredibly focused on is in fact the smoke rather than the flames, some of which we've already talked about just today. Still, though, the intensity of this disinformation campaign and how well-coordinated it is, almost like some deep state players are controlling the whole scenario, really is an important story that helps to reveal the blue smoke for what it is. I did a search for Alex Jones, Acosta, and doctored video and came up with an incredible amount of, well, crap. And pretty much nothing but at that. Starting with the WAPO, CBS News, a whole bunch of local newspapers, and the usual rags from across the pond, The Hill and the usual litany of leftist sites like Vox, Mashable, and the Huffington Post. And you already know the criminally negligent network are up to their usual broken record prevarications. And the same tired list of Ministry of Truth co-conspirators. And I use that term precisely and specifically. Did Jim Acosta abuse or rape anybody? Nope. And neither, of course, did Brett Kavanaugh. But interestingly, there's a whole lot more evidence about what Jim Acosta did do than anything these same sources made such a big deal about concerning that guy whose career they wanted to destroy. Hypocrisy, though, we've gotten really used to. But outright lies, repeated over and over again, year after year, seem to take a bit longer for the American people to wake up to. And that, folks, is why I'm spending the time on these stories, plural, on this particular day. Over the weekend, I watched Paul Joseph Watson's quite excellent debunking of all of the hoopla surrounding the claim that he doctored the videos and that the White House and Sarah Huckabee Sanders actually, how dare they, played it. Quoting even a bunch of leftist experts saying, yeah, the whole claim was a whole bunch of hooey. And your host just happened to remember something that I've heard many, many times over the years. It dates back to my original days in radio, when Larry Nichols, who was then one of the primary advisors to the evil Dixie Mafia, you know them as Bill and Hillary Clinton, first in the Arkansas governor's office, and then later, when the rapist-in-chief was first running for president, well, later, Larry got religion and decided to come clean about just how truly crooked the people he once worked for really are. I've talked to him personally several times over the years via radio interviews and heard him talk about what I'm getting ready to mention next many more times. But the bottom line is that for at least two decades he has been accurately describing precisely what we're seeing going on now. As a matter of fact, he talked about it as a game, or an exercise if you prefer, at honing their skills that the Clintons and their top advisors played over and over again in order to get good at perfecting their lies. And the name that they use really says it all.
Think of it as kind of like playing charades, only you get to lie as much as you want.
It was called, Who You Gonna Believe, Me or Your Lying Eyes? And the idea was to practice convincing the gullible that what you really just saw wasn't what actually happened at all.
No, I did not have sex with that woman. But it does all depend on what the meaning of the word is.
And here I have to ask another, hopefully embarrassing question. I'm sure everybody listening now knows who Dr. Christine Blasey Ford is. And even though she can't remember exactly when, where, or anything except who might have maybe touched her so many decades ago, and even though there's no supporting evidence whatsoever, much less a video, even a doctored one, for her claims, these same fake news outlets over and over again for literally days, if not weeks on end, claimed, we must believe her because she's a woman. And she's, of course, not Paula Jones, Kathleen Willey, Juanita Broderick, or any of the other lengthy litany of Clinton abuse victims.
So, yeah, who are you going to believe, me or your lying eyes?
And on that score, folks, your host can't help but hearken back to some of the many high-profile, oops, we got caught lying again examples from these very same waste-stream media outlets. And we don't even have to go all the way back to the murder of a sitting president on live TV. Although that does, of course, percolate pretty close to the top of the lengthy list. But for me, the one I really can't forget comes right from the early part of the Clinton era. And coincidentally, or maybe not, just before the Waco cover-up. And just in case you've forgotten, and NBC would certainly hope that you have by now, this particular incredibly incendiary whopper involved NBC News and Dateline, their nightly news sick program in particular, rigging a GM full-size pickup truck to explode on command when they needed it to, by strapping a model rocket engine to the gas tank. And that was an episode that aired on November 17, 1992. They were sued, they lost, and even the L.A. Times had to admit this one was really embarrassing. The headline from February 10th of 1993 says, after the lawsuit, NBC admits it rigged the crash and settled the GM suit in what they called an extraordinary public apology. They aired, yeah, really, by staging a fiery test crash of a General Motors pickup for their Dateline NBC News program and agreed to settle a defamation suit filed by the damaged automaker. Quote, we deeply regret we included the inappropriate demonstration in our Dateline report, said a statement read by co-anchors Jane Pauley and Stone Phillips. Well, listen to this. We apologize to our viewers and to General Motors. We've concluded that unscientific demonstrations should have no place in hard news stories at NBC. That's our new policy, unquote. And that obviously was a long time ago, folks. Because the current policy of all the ministries of truth seems to have departed from that not only a long time ago, but by a really long ways. So since then, we've gotten pretty well inured to all kinds of whoppers coming from the likes of CNN and the various three-letter propaganda agencies, like war correspondents reporting from deadly battle zones with explosions and sounds of gunfire in the background while they sit in front of a green screen. And we saw this one again just a couple of weeks back. The intrepid reporters from the hurricane zone, who may not be standing in front of a green screen, they're supposedly in the midst of a dramatic weather event, but the problem is, while passersby talking to one another nonchalantly and all the while recording the whole thing on their ubiquitous video phones are pointing out that the intrepid correspondent is leaning the wrong way into what little wind there was. So yeah, who are you going to believe, me or your lying eyes? How many times are you going to lie to me, I guess, is the appropriate response. Answer, over and over and over and over again, and gullible Americans keep letting them get away with it. Case in point, Brian Williams. Remember him? Yeah, his lips are still moving. Almost as full of himself, but not quite, as Jim Acosta. Got caught in his own whoppers. Yeah, that should be plural. But of course, the one everybody ought to remember was the Iraq War helicopter incident. This one's still getting spun, but here's how Variety reported it. In February of 2015, quote, Brian Williams, the most watched evening news anchor on television today, has acknowledged that he falsely claimed to have been on a helicopter that was shot down by enemy fire while on an NBC News reporting trip to Iraq in 2003. The admission, which comes after other mistakes made by NBC News sick personnel in recent newscasts, could give rivals like CBS and ABC, well, no, now they're all coordinated, folks, fodder in the ongoing struggle to lure audiences. And they go on to say that his recounting of the harrowing trip was, as it turns out, specious. That's a polite word for it. He lied. Originally, and repeatedly, say the sources, he claimed that a military helicopter he'd been traveling on in that war zone had been, quote, forced down after being hit by an RPG, unquote. And, of course, there's no video from those days of the actual event dating back to March of 2003. Sadly for Williams, there is video of what he said on air. And this particular whopper went on for years, up until a flight engineer on the actual helicopter that had been attacked called him out. He admitted to the military-focused outlet Stars and Stripes in an interview published Wednesday, remember this was 2015, that he was in fact on board a different plane that was never under fire and that landed safely about an hour behind the one that did. In an interview, he said, I would not have chosen to make this mistake. I don't know what screwed up in my mind that caused me to conflate one aircraft with another, unquote. You know, and that sounds a little bit like Hitlery, conflating the fact that she was also under fire when she really wasn't. But some people are just so darn good at it after a lot of practice. And the best of them, with a tip of the hat to old Adolf, have learned the trick. You have to sell those lies. Remember? Who are you going to believe, me or your lying eyes? And when it's really important, like say if you want to rig an election, you double down and force other so-called news outlets to support things that they all know are outright in-your-face whoppers. So let's take a quick review. Was NBC doctoring the video when they rigged the GM pickup to explode on command? No, that was just a whopper. And interestingly, there actually had been some GM pickups that had exploded, so at least there was the 80-20 rule part of the truth at play. Oh, and did every single news agency covering the execution of a bunch of people in their church in Waco, Texas, doctor the video there? No, they just simply didn't take any video that Big Brother didn't want Americans to see. And then they lied about the real video that came from the forward-looking infrared cameras that didn't get bleach-bitted or FBI deep-sixed in time, and thus revealed those lies. And they've never, ever fessed up about the depth of that depravity or the false flag bombing in Oklahoma City 2 years to the day later that destroyed literally who knows how much Clinton-era evidence, oh, and in the process killed a whole bunch of kids as collateral damage, as well as the Bill of Rights. And lucky for them, this was before cell phone video. So back to the latest whoppers and, more importantly, intended distraction from the whopper of outright Soviet-style election theft. Lying Jim Acosta claims he didn't touch her, and the lying media backs him up, claiming any and every video that shows otherwise can't be trusted. Who you gonna believe, me or your lying eyes? The answer, folks, is that video can be doctored, especially in the days when Hollywood and the fake news media are on the same stinking team. This one wasn't, as a whole lot of eyewitnesses, and that's a lot more than Blasey Ford, have already confirmed. And this, after all, is a radio program. I can't show you a video, but as it turns out, I don't have to, because you can believe your ears. And no, I'm not going to force you to listen to the whole Jim Acosta narcissistic outrage. Just the thrilling climax more than makes the point.
And they're hundreds of miles away, though. They're hundreds and hundreds of miles away. That's not an invasion.
Honestly, I think you should let me run the country. You run CNN.
All right.
And if you did it well, your ratings would be much better.
If I may ask one other question, are you worried?
That's enough.
Mr. President, I had one other question, if I may ask, on the Russia investigation. Are you concerned that you may have
I'm not concerned about anything with the Russian investigation because it's a hoax. That's enough. Put down the mic.
Mr. President, are you worried about indictments coming down in this investigation? Mr. President.
I'll tell you what, CNN should be ashamed of itself having you working for them. You are a rude, terrible person. You shouldn't be working for CNN.
And the president's right, and he gave that reprobate a whole lot more time than he should have, in at least this host's opinion. And even in the audio here, we saw tons of reasons why this guy's White House press pass was rightfully pulled. He was not only rude, as the president said, he was what once upon a time would have been called a boor. Nowadays, though, there's a modern term, and I'm going to have to bleep myself, but the truth is really simple. Jim Acosta is an utter asshole. But we all knew that. The real point here is that all of this, and it's not just limited to, well, you know what's like this, is a great big blue smoke screen. He's just the poster boy for the entire fake news ministry of truth. And the reason there's so much smoke around their attempt to destroy any and all of the alternative media is revealed by what their blue smoke is trying to hide. You cannot trust the crap they're trying to peddle, much less the reasons why they're trying to hide what they're doing. There really is a war on for your mind, and for what's left of your God-given rights, and for what's left of your once free country. And it really does involve open treason on so many fronts. From a long-hidden invasion and the false flags that continue to make it possible, to the fifth columns that are now embedded all over the United States, to the undermining of a duly elected president, to the outright theft of an entire election, and perhaps not one but even two houses of Congress. Arguably, so that the people who committed this treason don't hang. You know, folks, that you cannot trust the media. I hope that's been clear now for a long, long time, even though now it's just plain over the top. But what this latest round of blue smoke is designed to obscure is the fact that you cannot, and I'll say it again, you cannot trust a corrupt election process. It was pre-rigged, and when that turned out not to be enough, it was post-rigged, too. And no, it wasn't just crooked Broward County, or Palm Beach County, or Maricopa County in Arizona. And it's so bad now that the chain of custody has been destroyed and the process has been undermined from the beginning that there is literally no way to reconstruct just how bad this latest election theft actually was. But here's the answer you know would have been employed in any other venue you can imagine. Just throw out all of those votes from all of those precincts that have been demonstrated to be knee-deep in criminal fraud. And either seat the representatives who were elected honestly or just leave the seat vacant because nobody was representing anyone anyway. And I mean, really, if you already know they lie when they put their hand on a Bible and swear to support a constitution that they absolutely detest, why, oh why, do we think they wouldn't be willing to lie about votes, too? among all the other things they've been lying about for so long. May Yahuwah bless you and yours.